If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So we know we're going to the elections. 2024 is where we headed. We've been talking to party leaders with regards to manifestos. What we're going to start doing as well is to look at the provincial candidates. Of course, we will focus on Gauteng because we are in Gauteng. And so Bosa today announced their Gauteng candidate today. And it's none other somebody that you've heard on this platform before, Nobuntu Hlazo, our webster, who is in studio with us. Thank you. And congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
It's a huge province. It's a complicated province, and it really is our breadbasket.
Absolutely.
So it then makes it very, very important how it is that you're going to deal with the complexities of this province, the influx of people coming not only out of the country, but out of other provinces, well, looking for opportunities here, managing the infrastructure that cannot cope with the influx of people. It's where do you begin in a province like that?
So, thank you for that question, because when we launched our manifesto earlier this year, we launched it and called it the Jobs Plan. And so it's very fitting that Gauteng would be a province that we focus on, because this is what should be the economic hub in South Africa. And if you can fix and solve for the issue of employment, if you can fix and solve for the issue of the economy in Gauteng, then you're likely to then get it right in the rest of the country, because Gauteng is 34%, accounts for 34% of the GDP of this country. And so where that starts, does start with creating jobs, it does start with the economy. And what we've said is that to start doing that, we focused on the township economy. I said this the last time that we were here. The special economic zones as a focus, making sure that you have townships that are special economic zones, is still our focus. The Jobs and Justice Fund, making sure that you're able to invest in township economy, making sure also that you're able to skill, because one of the biggest issues that we have in this country is the skills gap, is that we don't have skill. And what we're saying is that in order to be able to bridge that gap, we've got to be able to afford young people activate specialized certificates that speak to the gaps that are in skills, but not only in them, also from this Jobs and Justice Fund, then be able to allocate funds towards them starting their own businesses as well in townships. And so that is very much our focus. We've focused on three areas where we want to have economic hubs.
Yeah,
we want to have hubs in the creative economy. First of all, you look at the opportunity that exists, particularly to be able to export content onto the continent and to the world. You look at that opportunity, and for ownership, you know, part of the issue that exists in that space is ownership. So then to be able
That bill is still an issue.
So to be able to have music, film, television, production spaces and hubs that support financially and with skill and with business skills as well, people who are in the creative sector. The second is the manufacturing sector. We really, really do have a gap and have not reached our potential when it comes to the manufacturing sector. And the hubs that we would develop would be microfactories for people who are able to get space, who are able to get equipment, and are able to be supported to be able to build microfactories in townships.
Where would these... Oh, in townships, you say?
In various townships in different regions across the province. And then the last is innovation and technology hubs. We are falling quite behind when you look at places like Nairobi and you look at the innovation that happens there. And there isn't a reason why we've been on the back foot of places like that. But we need to be able to focus on that, be intentional about that. We need to be able to give capacity and to be able to give infrastructure, to be able to give the research capacity to innovators, to scientists, to people who actually want to be in that space of creating technology and other innovations that we need. So in a nutshell, that's what we've looked at as it pertains to how do we in Gauteng then ensure that we are investing, particularly in the township economy. I said when I was here the last time that the mainstream economy, we cannot rely on the mainstream economy to create the jobs that we need in this country. So you've got to be able to expand the economy.
And that economy, you're saying, will be boosted by a fund?
It will be boosted by a fund, the Jobs and Justice Fund. This is a fund that where you have various funds that exist, some private, some public. You have currently legislation, BEE legislation, where companies have their own internal processes. But if you have a fund where you are pouring into this one focused fund that's able to then disperse these monies in all these different ways, able to, you're speaking of infrastructure, also then contribute towards the development of infrastructure that is needed for businesses and for economies. So, for instance, when you talk about digital infrastructure, mm-hmm. you need to be able to make sure that right now, as we speak about township economy, you really can't build an economy when you don't have the right digital infrastructure. Many of these economies need that. And so it would be a fund that would take from those funds. You have other avenues as well where you can source funds from. For instance, you look at IDC and the shares that it holds, of which currently it's about at 80 billion, and you could sell those and divest and be able to put it into a fund like that.
I'm going to open the lines if you don't mind, sure. because people will probably want to ask you lots of things and what your plans are for the province. 086 000 0959. You can also send a voice note on 063 688 0959. Many people are listening to you and they're saying, especially entrepreneurs who've walked this path before and are saying, look, yes, you're absolutely right. There is a lot of money in this country. There are many funds that have been established to assist us black people. There was an industrialist fund. There have been many, many. And they also tell you, well, nepotism has been an issue, and it's about who you know. It's about, you know, your networks in the right places. How is BUSA going to make sure that the opportunities are available for everybody who qualifies?
Having been an entrepreneur myself, I got into business when I was 24. Mm. One of the biggest frustrations was trying to get what was then called the Umsobomvu Fund.
Yes.
And there were various other funds, the NYDA funds, like you're saying, the Black Industrialist Fund, all these funds at IDC. It was so difficult, and it still is for so many people. And so part of that has to do with the cronyism culture that we have. And so what we've said is that this is a fund that would be managed and administrated by public finance professionals and not by people who sit within the systems of government, because mm-hmm. that's where the challenge has come in. These would be finance administrators that would take care of this, and this would be audited and overseen to ensure that what we're seeing now is not mm-hmm. the reality. The other thing mm-hmm. is that it would have to be underwritten. These funds, some of them will be grants, and if they're loans, they have to be underwritten, because the other frustration mm-hmm. for entrepreneurs has been that you have, for instance, the CIFA fund, mm-hmm. and what is... Actually, the most ridiculous thing that I had found was the NYDA asking young people to have collateral,
yes,
either in the form of
property,
a bond,
or like that,
or a payslip.
A really big
so
asset.
Yes. If you're an entrepreneur, but you need a payslip from me. So those kinds of things just don't make sense. And so what we've said is that these funds are funds that need to be underwritten so that they are accessible to entrepreneurs.
All right. Gauteng has a massive backlog when it comes to infrastructure. Housing is an issue. Infrastructure in general, we see it all the time. When it rains, you have flooding, not because it's heavy rain, but because our drains are not coping. The infrastructure needs to be updated. That will take a while. It will also take a lot of money. What is your plan?
So what we have focused on in the Gauteng pledge and the Build Gauteng plan is housing, because, and I'll speak to the other infrastructure as well, but we focused on housing because being on the ground and campaigning, for me, one of the things that has really caught my attention is how so many people in Gauteng are either homeless, mm-hmm. so many people in Gauteng are in shelters that are not conducive for a human being to be in. You know, you have the kind of situation where parents are scared of their children going to the toilet because they're scared they're going to fall in. There is no sanitation. There are no toilets. And so we've investigated what the issue is. And part of the issue we found is corruption in the system. So there are people who go and who are listed for housing, but you find that actually they get told, oh no, you've already got a house, and they don't have a house. Mm-hmm. Part of the issue is, I mean, there's a backlog of 1.2 million houses as it stands now. And so part of the issue is that. Part of the issue also has been the model to say that it's RDP housing and everybody gets free housing, and that's not sustainable. The government is then building at a rate of about 10,000 houses in 2 years or something ridiculous like that. So what we've said is that, first of all, we have to find a sustainable way. The first of this is that we have to be in public-private partnerships. Mm-hmm. And that's critically important. Because, like you say, for all the infrastructure that you look at, the burden is too heavy on government. And the reality is that government is struggling to keep up. Yeah. So you have to have public-private partnerships. And actually what that does is it stimulates the economy. Because, for instance, if you look at having property developers that are in the areas and communities, that in itself is stimulating the economy. And you then subsidize people to be able to have, and based on a scale, depending on their income. We've seen this work in other emerging economies across the world. You have a sliding scale of how much somebody is subsidized. In that way, you're not fully reliant on government, and in that way, you have a public-private partnership. Important is the subsidization also and the underwriting of young people's bonds. You have graduates and young people that are entrants, and it simply is... it's not affordable for them to be able to have their own homes. And so that's why we have some of the issues that we have as it pertains to housing. And then the last is to investigate the issue of current build quality. Because then you have homes that have been distributed and have been allocated to people, but the build quality is such that those homes are not sustainable. Some of the homes that we see now are breaking down, and that's the issue. So you have to be able to audit that and solve for that issue as well as it pertains to housing.
Yeah. And then the other infrastructure we were speaking of as well.
And so the other infrastructure, a lot of it has to be that you cannot have and rely on government alone. You do have to go into partnerships. I mean, for instance, when you look at the water issue, we look at the water issue, and we really are, and I mean, I know the Minister of Water and Sanitation says there's no crisis, but there is a crisis when there are communities that don't have water, when more than 50% of the country actually has water that is not of drinking quality. And when you look at part of the issues there is, first of all, skills. You don't have people who, the right people who are skilled in positions. Secondly, part of the issue that you find is that you have corruption. That is happening. We saw this with Eskom. You have corruption in that there isn't maintenance of infrastructure. You have to make sure that infrastructure is maintained. And then lastly, when you look at treatment plants, for example, partner with the private sector in order to be able to make sure that you maintain the condition of those water treatments, but also that you are able to disperse the work and the capacity that is to fulfill the capacity that is needed to be able to keep and to be able to respond and intervene with issues of water.
What would your plan then be? We just spoke about housing. Your plan be with current informal settlements. Some of them are in very inappropriate spaces, whether it is a flood line or things like that. Others maybe just need to be repurposed and maybe upgraded. What's your plan in that regard?
Definitely service stands needs to be a solution that we look at. You have to upgrade the current informal settlements that exist that are in the kinds of areas where people can live. You have to upgrade. You have to make sure that there's basic services that are available to people that are there. And one of the ways of ensuring that those upgrades happen is service stands. And then being able to subsidize material for people to build. Because at this point, because of the backlog, you can't build for everybody. But if you supply service stands, if you allow for there to be a voucher of sorts or grant of sorts that allows people access to the material to be able to build, you then start to deal with that issue.
Okay. And then we're going to speak about the burden on the health sector, the burden on education, the education department in Gauteng, because as I said earlier, they're all coming into this province. Some of the provincial hospitals are the only ones that can do dialysis, for instance. And so people have no choice but to come here. It's a huge burden on the province. And what is your plan with regards to that?
So let's speak to schools first. The issue with schools, there's a number of schools, and I'm not going to remember the exact number right now, but there's a number of school projects that have been abandoned. There are schools that have been completed and that have not been occupied because of some of the corruption that has taken place between contractors and public works and the Department of Education. So first of all, you have to look at those schools that are already existing. There are projects that have already had millions, hundreds of millions, billions spent on those projects. So you have to be able to recoup those projects and make sure that they are completed and make sure that you are able to, first of all, allocate those schools to children. You know, we were in Soweto recently, and there was a school that was abandoned. Yet down the road, there was a school with overcrowded classrooms. So you look at that situation and you say, you've got a school here, you've got capacity, make sure that you recoup whatever had been started with that school. You carry on with that project and you're able to move the children that are in that school. So a lot of the issues that we see aren't because there hasn't been resources to be able to get the work done. It's just because of the wrong leadership, and it's just because of corruption. And that's something that we can't run away from.
Currently, you are speaking of boosting this economy by trying to get young people better skilled. And we are speaking of funds of trying to boost the entrepreneurs and their plight. But we still have a huge part of this this population that is unemployed. And that's why municipalities are struggling with rate collections and so on. In the immediate term, what do you suggest we're going to do to make sure that you are going to be doing some of the things that you're doing with the kind of economy that we're struggling with? It's a really tough balance to manage.
I mean, some of these things are quite immediate. You already have businesses that exist, you know, that just need some sort of investment to be able to grow. And so when you look at the backlog that, you know, we keep speaking about backlogs that exist for funding of businesses that exist, you need to be able to take what's already there and work with what's already there. In the immediate sense, we don't have a shortage of businesses that can be scalable, of businesses that can be accelerated. And in the immediate sense, that's what's got to happen. Yes, we can get skills in the longer term, etc. But to be able to employ people, that's the first. The second is that we've always spoken of a vocational program for young people. And that allows young people to get into the working world. It allows them to get into the market. That's something that you can implement immediately. You run vocational programs for young people for a year. That person is already in the system. They are working. You're absorbing people into the system and they're able to work almost immediately.
I'm going to just maybe speak just now when we are done to a chairperson of Deep Kloof Hostel. They have been in negotiations with the province and with the city. They're unhappy. Their dwellings have not been upgraded in many, many, many years. They simply want somebody to be honest and to come up with a plan. What would you do for residents like that? Because there are many hostels like the Deep Kloof that really have been waiting to get a plan on whether they're going to go somewhere or whether there's going to be an immediate upgrade on their residence.
I think the first most important thing is engaging hostel dwellers on what they need and what they want. There's some that actually need upgrades. There's some where you find that people in hostels have 4 to 10 to 15 people in one room. So it's finding out what are the needs, first of all, that are there. And then making sure that whatever solution for each hostel is aligned with the needs that exist. There's budget allocated in human settlements to the upgrade of a human settlements budget to the upgrade of hostels that sit within the responsibility of the Gauteng Human Settlements government. In the previous financial year, some of that budget went back to Treasury. And so the issue is about making sure that the spend is used to be able to do that work. That budget exists. It's there. It's about engaging with communities. It's about being present and being able to know what it is that is needed in those communities, and then making sure that there is sufficient planning. There's the right kind of skilled people who are able to implement on that.
Lastly, I just want to ask you about transport because you do know that a bulk of workers in this province spend on just transport. In fact, the bulk of their salaries go there because it's just not sensible. Sometimes a person is moving from a very short radius but has to catch 2-3 taxis because the routes are designed that way and not many other options. So even if you wanted to come out of the taxi system, you don't have any other options. You only have the Gautrain, and it's quite elitist because of the costs. So you have massive problems. The metro buses have problems. As you know, Patco has got problems, and it's not integrated.
So the first, in the long term, when we speak about township economy, that's one of the things that we need to address. The spatial injustice in the province of Gauteng makes it such that people do have to travel with 3 taxis to be able to get to school. So in the long term, the reason you want to make sure that you have thriving economies where people live is to avoid that. The other thing about that is that people then spend their income on the road. Mm-hmm. And that's a reality that you have. But in the short term, it's important to make sure that you have a reliable transport system. If you could do it with Gautrain, you could do it with the bus system. A reliable system that, first of all, has the right routes and takes into consideration the routes that people take to work. A reliable system that actually is sustainable. Because some of the issues that have existed is in the sustainability of some of the transport solutions that we've seen. You have to make sure that it is sustainable, and you have to make sure that it's something that is user friendly. Mm-hmm. You know, for people who are using the transport system, even in how you get your ticket. You know, making that something that's a simple thing to solve for, mm-hmm. that makes it easier for people to move around. Mm-hmm. It is around, first of all, innovation, first of all, solving for sustainability, but also just for practicality and the realities that exist in people and they travel to work.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for coming through. I really appreciate your time. Nobuntu Hlazo Webster is Build One SA Gauteng Premier Candidate. We'll continue on this vein. We'll bring others in. But thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening.
Thank you for having me.
Have a fantastic evening, the rest of your evening.
Thank you so much, Pramelo.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.